Where are you calling from today?
Toronto.
So you haven't started the latest tour?
Well, no. We're kind of in between tours right now.
Okay, so, but you are planning on coming out towards our neck of the woods, southern Alberta. You're going to play Lethbridge in late April, I know that.
Yeah, there's we have to do a European run mid-March before we do Canada. Then we're home for a week, and then we're out across Canada for the good part of April.
And then you go back to Europe?
Yes, yeah, back to Europe in June. We're doing a few dates here and there in May, but it's not a tour. It's just like flyouts to Europe and stuff. And then June to August is going to be pretty much the festival season, which takes up the entire 3 months. And you play on the weekends, and then you kind of scatter during the week.
Well, I was going to say, I talked to you a few years back, and you guys had gotten yourself a dwelling in Amsterdam, and you were staying there during the week and then flying out to these festivals?
Oh, yeah, that must have been back in 2008, because we had all these festivals, and there was really no point in flying everyone home. The cheaper route to do was to rent out a house and use Amsterdam as the center headquarters, and we had a great time there. It was actually, it turned out to be a real fun summer, just hanging out in Holland and then flying out to all these festivals all over the continent on the weekends.
So are you doing the same kind of thing this time around or a little bit different?
No, we did it for that year. And then for one reason or another, we're needed back home or we're needed over here. So we haven't done that since. But it's definitely worth looking into for the future. This year, it's a little scattered. People have different things on the go. So we're meeting to do the festivals, and then we're scattering during the week. And then the next week, we meet again somewhere, whether it's Austria or Finland or Spain or wherever Friday and Saturday and Sunday will have us.
So do you bring anything consciously different to the stage, Lethbridge versus Helsinki?
Nope. I'd really have no idea sometimes. You know, it's not important as to where I am. The show should translate anywhere, you know, and I don't dumb it down or bring it up depending on, you know, the audience or wherever I am. The audience gets the show wherever we are. I don't really believe in talking down to an audience or changing the show. I think what we do, the songs, and all the performance aspect of it, the banter in between, translates to whoever, whether you can understand English or not. There's a lot more that can be translated and communicated other than, you know, actual words. It's tone of voice, it's facial expressions, it's, you know, sometimes it's volume of voice as well. And I really value the intelligence of our audience. As much as I do not like to be talked down to or dumbed down to, I really just like to speak to an audience, even though there's an elevated stage, like to speak to them, you know, face to face, eye to eye, you know. So no, it doesn't change. You know, sometimes I'll you know, curtail the show depending on if there's something local that's worth talking about, but that happens everywhere. You know, then there'll be a local thing in Helsinki, a local thing in Barcelona, a local thing in you know, Medicine Hat, wherever we are. But it doesn't change the show at all, you know.
Well, so going into it, do you have any kind of game plan? Because I know, I mean, looking through your book and whatnot, and just seeing many of your performances in the past, you're famous for your onstage banter. Some almost compare it to, like, you know, sermons from the rock pulpit between songs.
Sure, I mean, there's a little bit of that, definite influence. There is an influence of that, but it, I don't see myself as a preacher or anything. It's more of a chance to be heard. You know, a lot of the reasons why people get up on stage and want to perform in front of, you know, a lot of people they don't know night after night, you know, that's some sort of like, that sometimes it stems from childhood, sometimes it's other things. For me, I mean, it's just a little bit to do with childhood. You know, maybe I wasn't heard enough. I mean, or you just need to be heard. That's something that I've come to terms with only in recent years. But in a way, it was good. You know, it helped me become what I do now, and I love what I do now. So maybe I wasn't heard back then, but you know, I'm gonna make damn sure I'm heard now. But there's an introvertedness, you know, or introverts, an introversion, I don't even know if that's the right word.
Yeah, I think that works.
When it comes to performers, you know, a lot of performers are introverted and quiet off stage, and then they come out on stage, and, you know, there's social anxieties that a lot of performers talk about, and people don't make the connection. They can't understand how that can even happen when you voluntarily jump up on a stage in front of strangers and perform. In my case, scream my balls off. People don't understand, and I always get tagged at whenever people meet me. Oh, you're so quiet, you're so quiet. But it's really a common trait with a lot of performers, whether they're singers or guitarists or, you know, in music. I mean, that's a very common trait. I see that all the time, more so with singers, because, you know, drummers and bassists and stuff, there's kind of a sorority or fraternity. There's a brotherhood, sisterhood amongst all these players. But when it comes to singers, there's so much ego that is in front of that person in terms of personal space that singers don't have that same camaraderie that I see bassists and drummers and guitarists have. You know, I'm a singer / guitarist, so I'm not completely in a bubble, but I see it with singers.
Do you think with singers, is that because there are so many egos out there and everybody's so much more competitive with each other?
You know, a little bit of that. I think there's a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of a showdown, but a lot of it has to do with the people themselves, the reason why they're there in the first place, and what kind of personalities are drawn to that line of work, or, you know, so there's a little bit of that, you know, but I like to offset it with the fact that I am a guitarist as well, so I do belong to the club of guitarist club, so my ego isn't that crazy off the charts. I like to believe. You got to ask someone else who's around me if they can confirm that.
So you're not like what's the character from that that musical about 80s rock? Have you ever seen that?
No.
Well, you know what? I got dragged to it in Vegas. Seriously. What's the name of it? It's the one with Tom Cruise was in the movie. You've heard of it though, right? Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. That's
Rock
what it
of
is.
Ages. Okay, yeah.
So you haven't seen that?
Those are exaggerations.
Sure.
Tom Cruise and Hollywood world is an exaggeration of an exaggeration. But the real truth is, I think what really gets people a commonality amongst performers is an introverted.
What about, so you're talking about, obviously, and, you know, I've met you a few times before. Of course you come across as more quiet. And how could you not be more quiet off stage than what you are on stage? I mean, I remember bringing you on stage in Regina, and I felt like I had to throw more F-bombs out there because I couldn't even come close to matching the energy that everybody knew that was to come, you know?
Well, it's a lot of, like, holding it all in as well and just keeping it at bay. And there's a little bit of keeping it at bay, and there's a little bit of, you know, making sure there's enough energy for this show and saving it. But there's no acting is what I really want to stress is when I get up on stage, I really, really, really want to be there. And when someone really wants to do something, whether it's, you know, play tennis or you know, watch a movie or go running, they get really excited, you know, so that's, you're getting the most excited version of myself. You get to see it publicly for, you know, the duration of the show. So people think, oh, it's some sort of persona that's put on. No, absolutely not. I mean, in my personal life, when I get excited over something else, it comes out, you know, and over time I've learned to harness it and wield it a little better. But you gain a little bit more control, especially doing this in controlled environments, night after night performing. In my personal life, I have more control over it because I'm used to that kind of surge of adrenaline, that surge of energy, and holding it at bay until you can let it out. But definitely the energy, you know, you can't act that energy. It's got to be for real. And I'm just glad I have it. You know, we've been around for a while, for a minute or two, and I'm just glad that I have a chance and people give me a stage and people show up to the shows to watch it. And that, after all so many years of doing this, and the lifespan of a name band is the average lifespan is 7 years. So for us to be able to do it for almost two decades is a privilege.
So Danko Jones here in studio. You're talking, or on the phone, not in studio. But anyway, you're talking about how long you've been doing this. If you were to compare, you know, you're talking about energy levels on stage. What about backstage and life away from the stage? What are the things that are most different from back in the day when you first started out to now as you release Fire Music?
The world has changed in the last 2 decades. I mean, the one thing that makes it easier to tour for longer is the internet. You can stay in touch quicker, faster, and more immediate. And that's the big, that's usually a real deciding factor for bands, you know, if they can. It's fun to go on the road for a week or two when you're just starting out. It's a lot of fun. But then when it turns into like 3 months, 4 months, I don't care how old you are, it's going to grind you down. I've seen bands that are, you know, just starting out in the first 2 years, 3 years, and, you know, they get a little momentum and their management keeps them on the road, and they get ground down. And so what helps is the internet and keeping in touch with family and friends at home. And, you know, we started out when there was payphones, and you had to throw in, like, you know, what was it, 12 quarters in a payphone just to, you know, whatever call or whoever you had to make. I remember using a payphone in San Francisco and calling my girlfriend at the time in 97, you know, just saying, hey, I'm alive. I'm still here, you know. So that's changed. That's made things a hell of a lot easier for bands. So the backstage dressing room, you know, there's a Wi-Fi signal. If there is no Wi-Fi signal, however, then things start to resemble, you know, 98.
So you're saying if there's Wi-Fi, it keeps you under better behavior?
You know, there's less idle hands to go around. but also, at the same time, I've taken up extracurricular things that I've done simply because of the boredom in dressing rooms and the hurry up and wait attitudes of the day. So now I write. You know, I write for columns and magazines. I have columns and magazines, and I've been doing that since 2005. So I've constantly, it's all music oriented, but, you know, it keeps my mind going. And I've over the years, I've graduated, and it's a lot of fun to throw down, you know, an essay for, you know, a 1200 word essay on something about music that I love. And that keeps me busy during the days. And I do a podcast as well, editing a podcast and writing the intro and the monologue and stuff. So there's a lot of things to write about. And there's been times where there's been no computer and no Wi-Fi or whatever. Well, yeah, I dig into my bag, find that old trusty pen, get myself some scrap paper, and keep writing. So that's changed.
How about with the music? I know you like to write about the music. You obviously like to continue to make music with the new album, Fire Music. Different attitude going into recording this one with the, you got the new drummer, right?
Yeah, we got Rich Knox from PEI.
Cool.
Yeah, Rich has added Rich has just been a great asset to the band. He's, first and foremost, to get the gig, he's an amazing drummer. And then his attitude is amazing, too. He's really a team player, and his drum pattern was the reason that we wrote Do You Want to Rock, the first single off Fire Music. It stems from his drum pattern that he came up with. So he's really become an equal force in the band very immediately, more faster than any other member who's ever been in the band, any other drummer. So in going into writing this record, the last record did well for us, but it really, we went through some personal stuff and didn't have a good year, you know, personally. We had a great year touring-wise. We did a lot of great tours, but, you know, behind the scenes, things weren't all that happy and pretty, and there was a lot of, I guess you could say, fire and anger, and we channeled it all into the album, and people are saying it's the angriest record we've ever written. It's the loudest and the heaviest, and I think it's a pure reflection of the year that we went through, the last couple of years before leading up to making Fire Music. It's just a direct reflection of us, and we had to get it out. The songs are really angry and energetic, and we always have something to prove. You're always only as good as your last song or last album or last show. So the desire to constantly prove yourself never ends. never resting on any laurel. I don't think we have enough to rest on. And so we just keep going. And the one thing that I'm very aware of is I'm angrier than I was when I was 21. I mean, I'm angrier now than ever before. I mean, which is great. You know, like I said, I can harness it better now. You know, when I was younger, I mean, my short fuse. I've burned a lot of bridges over the years, you know, because of it. But now you harness it better, and you know, you can control it better. Not that I'm a crazy man. I can take it out on stage. Even when I get angry on stage, I know how to harness it better. You know, rather than, I don't know. There's been times where you just lose your temper, and it's just not a good. It embarrasses the band, the other guys on stage. You know, you just got to keep your head together and make sure you play that next chord a little bit harder and sing that next chord, that next note a little bit stronger, you know.
You say you're angrier now than you were before, though. Is there a reason for that? Is that...
It's simply living experience and baggage. You accumulate this stuff over the years. I mean, you know, if you're engaged enough, there's enough stuff out in the world and enough things you go through that will eventually, you can find something that will piss you off, you know, so there's that, you know, the general societal, political issues of the day that always ends up angering everybody, but also from a personal standpoint, you know, just you live a little bit more and you get enough years underneath you, and there's enough to harness and enough to take from in terms of life experience that, you know, things can get you fired up quickly.
Well, there's lots of anger on the album. One of the songs, one of the teaser tracks that came out before the first single, there's going to be a fight tonight.
Yeah, that's actually not taken from any personal experience, because this album I tried to there's a couple of tracks that included where I was like kind of thinking of in a songwriter's craft mode, like where you're kind of composing a story or writing a story within a song rather than from pure POV personal experience, but still. The sentiment still remains. Yeah, like I'm ready for we're all ready for that fight and we're ready to go. You know, but in my head it was more of the Warriors out movie meets West Side Story, and it was just kind of a mishmash of that.
How did that end up getting picked up by the Royal Rumble?
I know, that was kind of crazy. That happened very fast. The WWE they've used one of our songs in the past. In 2006, our song "Baby Hates Me" off "Sleep Is the Enemy" was the theme song to another pay-per-view special called Backlash. So our ties with the WWE go back like 8 years. So I guess we had uploaded the teaser track, and someone at the WWE heard it, and really very, very quickly. It became the theme song to the Royal Rumble.
And are you at all a wrestling fan?
Yeah, I'm an old school wrestling fan. Like, I'm a pretty huge old school guy. It only takes me maybe a couple shows to get into the new stuff, but I'm Rowdy Roddy Piper. I'm Dusty Rhodes. I'm Rocky Johnson, Tony Atlas. I'm Abdullah the Butcher, Bruiser Brody. I'm that kind of fan. And the fact that during the Royal Rumble the Backlash in 2006 and this Royal Rumble, Jerry the King Lawler threw to our song. In 2006, it was Baby Hates Me. In 2015, it was going to be a fight tonight. And Jerry the King Lawler is a legend, and he threw to our song. That made it for me. That was it. You know, because, I mean, Jerry Lawler, he's the guy that wrestled Andy Kaufman. You know,
yeah,
so...
Right.
He's a legend, and so he does color commentary for the WWE still, and it was really cool to hear him say the name of our song during the special, so that was a lot of fun.